Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast. It's good to be with everybody. Once again, you're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. I want to thank God for all the people that are beginning to really respond to the broadcast. We are very blessed. We've been extremely busy, and especially in these next couple of weeks, I'll be flying solo as Paul Petit is moving forward into a journey. He'll be joining us once again when he gets back in about 2 weeks, but he'll have a lot to share with us about what's going on in his world. I was at a conference last night for the first time. It's all week this week, and I knew by going there, there were going to be seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's going on in your life today. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your battles are. I don't know what's going on with you, but I know this, that a time is coming of severe, intense, critical darkness, and it is imperative that you are a wise virgin and that you have golden oil, the oil that will bring you through this end time scenario that is developing all over the world. And you know, you just got to go wherever you need to go to get it. You've got to do what you got to do to get it. And I know you can get this oil. It's in the Holy Spirit. And I know it can be found in the secret place of the Most High. And remember that beautiful psalm that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see and behold the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Isn't that an amazing promise out of Psalm 91? And remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. and remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he taught on the Mount of Olives. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, or the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Hallelujah. "And blessed are you when men persecute you for righteousness' sake, for the kingdom of heaven is yours." And then, of course, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you." Remember, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Remember and know who you are. The point is simply this. We are moving into a season where we're just in a critical moment. We are in a critical moment. If we were able to view the kingdom of heaven, the thoughts of God, to see his face, his concern, what's on his face, not that God is a God of concern biting his nails, that's not it. But from his perspective, he's looking at this world that he created, and he created it good, and he is seeing so many things, and he's moving in the midst of his people. You see, God has relationship with his people. You and me. And he doesn't want just this informal, you know, sterile, thing going on where it's organizational and it's structured. No, he's got this very intimate, very organic, very inward relationship that he wants. And he demonstrated that with his son, Jesus Christ. He was real. He was not, you know, it was just intimate. And so this intimacy, he's looking for his people. He's looking for a people that he can call his friend, that he can download counsel to, that he can share revelation with, and he's doing it. And he's telling his people on this earth, you are living in a critical time, but you're not seeing it. You're not aware of the critical mass reality, the seriousness of this moment. And, you know, I kind of believe that there's a connection with North Korea and the missile testing that they're doing. I believe that, you know, the national thing that's going on around the world, the Islamic beast around the world, this is all very serious stuff. But there's something deeper at work here, and we're going to have to really dig through it. That's why I'm going into the book of Revelation again today. We're going to continue on in that great prophecy and, go forward, because yes, in the beginning of sorrows, yes, there's a wild man loose on the earth. Yes, there are wars and rumors of wars. Yes, there are troubles and there are famines and there are pestilences and there are earthquakes and there are all kinds of activities. And yes, there is a tremendous amount of deception in the world that we live in today. Great deception. And yet there's more to it. This is all the beginning of sorrows. This is the beginning of what is to come. This is a woman in travail. And many times we've quoted out of Jeremiah that if the footmen have wearied you, what will you do in the day of the prancing horses or the chariots, you know? So it's a critical moment. And yet, as critical as the dark days ahead are, what God is saying is that glorious light is going to shine. It goes back to Isaiah. "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen in you." And that glory is his light. That's his doxa. That's praise and worship and presence. And so if darkness is coming, well, he contrasts it with "arise and shine, for thy light has come." And so the only people that are going to have the light to travel through are the wise virgins of Matthew chapter 25. We've all heard the story. And the wise virgins are getting oil in their lamp. And the oil comes through spending time with God, spending time in Christian fellowship, breaking bread with one another. For truly the anointing is in the cluster. It's not in the individual grape. And so there is a time of the prayer closet, and then there's a time of public open prayer. There's a time of solidarity in the top of a mountain, so to speak, and then in the midst of the body of Christ at these different places of gathering. and wherever you can get the oil. Now, the last thing that we want to entertain is being told, well, go and buy the oil. You know, we don't want to wake up, surprise, 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 I don't have any oil in my lamp. Hey, can I borrow some of your oil, sir, ma'am? No, because if I give my oil to you, then I won't have enough for myself, and I've got to get to the destination of the king. So I don't want to be put in a position of having to go somewhere to buy some oil. So what are we doing to get the oil, this critical moment of making sure the golden oil of God? Well, he has promised. And if you're listening to this broadcast today, you're blessed because God has promised that he is going to send times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And that refreshing goes back to the fresh oil, the golden oil that moves through the pipes. I talk about that much from Zechariah. The golden oil that's poured into the pipes, into the lampstand. This is the golden oil. This is the refreshing. This is the anointing. And this is what you and I need in our lives so that when we awake from our slumber in that midnight season and we hear the shout, come and meet the Lord, and we all go forward, that we could trim our lamps and find light to pave the way. And again, it is a very grossly darkened day that we are living in. So again, the imperative, it is a serious moment. It is a moment that is absolutely amazing. And all we're saying really, because we love God, is give me my ammunition. You know, download me with weapons, equip me and prepare me and just get me ready. I want every bullet. I want every, a bit of armory. Give me every battle plan. I want to know everything. I want to be an effective warrior in these last days. I want to go forth and I want to do the bidding of the king. I want to go forth and do his work. I want to be on assignment from God. All these troubles in this momentary world are nothing but distractions from my true calling in God. All the warfare, all the harassment, all the enemy's provocations, you know, all of these things are meaningless. Right now, God's people need to peer in. Many of them are slumbering and sleeping. You got to admit that. Most of the people in the church are sleeping, but there is an awakening that's beginning to happen because the voice from the throne of heaven is coming into the earth. Arise, trim your lamps, go out to meet the bridegroom. And so we want to make sure that that's the direction that we're going in. And so get ready, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a serious moment and yet a moment where Father God is wanting to have interaction with you and with me and with his people everywhere. Divine interaction is where we're going today. And that divine interaction is a download. You know, you do go back to Abraham and Lot when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And I really want to talk about this because this came up in the meeting last night. But the Lord meets with Abraham, right? Because when Abraham separated from his nephew Lot, Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah because from his view, it was the most beautiful place. He didn't know about the corrupt conduct of the people in those beautiful cities, but he saw with his eyes, you know, and it's always the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and all that that gets us in trouble. And so Lot chose that place and Abraham went on in the purposes of God. He's dwelling in the mountains and the Lord visits him, three messengers, and begins to declare to Abraham his secret. And he tells him, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And because Abraham's nephew Lot was there, he begins the intercession and he's talking with the Lord and there is counsel going on and it's wonderful. And he's trying to make this point. Listen, if there are 50 righteous, if there's 40 righteous, if there's 30 righteous, 20 righteous, if there's 10 righteous, will you spare it? And God says, if there's 10, I'll spare it. Well, there weren't 10. So what God did was he sent his angels to get Lot and his family out. The son-in-laws, they mocked him. They said he was crazy. Nothing's going to happen. His wife on the way out turned back. They were lingering. We call them lingering Lot because rather than going when the angel said, they waited to the last second and they went out with basically nothing. And you know the rest of the story and it's an amazing story. But here God is relaying counsel. He's revealing secrets to Abraham, his friend. And so Father wants to be talking to his friends. Jesus said, you are my friends. I no longer call you servants. You're my friends. Abraham was a friend of God. We are the seed of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. We are of the Abrahamic covenant. We've been grafted into the covenant. And because we are friends of God, God can talk to us about his secrets. He could reveal things to us, right? And why does he do that? Because he wants to show us things to come. And then there is a place when God reveals things that we can counsel with him. You know, Lord, are you sure you want to do that? Is that the right thing? I mean, my God, intercession. When he's ready to destroy the children of Israel, what does Moses do? Well, he begins to counsel with the Lord. God tells Moses what he's going to do. I'm going to destroy this people and I'm going to make a new nation out of you. And Moses says, no, Lord, don't do that. And convinces the Lord and changes his mind. I mean, this really is intercession. And there are many things that God has revealed to us over the years about things that are coming. And in our haste, we speak those things prophetically and declare those things. And yet very few of us have stopped for a moment and says, okay, Lord, you say you're going to do this. Well, what about this? And this is part of the friendship, you know, community. Now, there's a balance to all of this. You know, God reveals things to Jeremiah, and he tells Jeremiah, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to prophesy. And even though you're declaring, you are warning people, turn and this thing will be stayed off. Repent and this thing won't come. You know, these warnings of divine judgment, these warnings of divine wrath can be withheld if my people would humble themselves, repent, confess their sin and turn away from it, right? And move in another direction. Well, God obviously has had his mind changed at times through intercessory prayer. And yet we live in a moment where we go to Ezekiel chapter 14 and God says to Ezekiel, his prophet, even if these three men, Daniel, Job, and Noah. Now think about those three men, Daniel, Job, and Noah, three of the most righteous men in their generation when it comes to a perfect heart towards God. He said, even if they were in the city of destruction, they would only save themselves. But everything else that is wicked is going to be destroyed. So in the one side, if there's 50 righteous, I'll spare the city. Here, there are righteous people, but they're only going to be saved. The rest I'm going to destroy. And I have a sense that that's where we are today, that God is speaking to this. So what we're going to do, I'm going to come back here in just a little bit. We'll go right into our Bible study in the book of Revelation. I want to pick it up. But I want you to know today that there is oil that is coming forth. There is divine golden oil, the olive oil, the rich oil, the oil that makes one glad, the oil that will prepare and equip an individual to endure unto the end. It is all available, ladies and gentlemen, for you and I. And I want to make sure that you get in on it. Again, I'm Vincent Xavier. I'll be right back. We're going to go into the book of Revelation. So hold tight. Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are four ways you could get involved right away. Number one, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL, omegaradio.org, with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into The Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to omegaradio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and we're going to go forward right now into the book of Revelation, chapter 6. And so if you're ready for a good sword of the Spirit here, let's get into it. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Now, we're going to be talking about the opening of the fifth, number 5, seal, the fifth seal. And remember, the word seal means understanding at the root. And so with every seal that is opened, the understanding of the people intended to hear this prophecy should be enlightened. There should be a growing enlightenment, a dawning, an understanding should be getting deeper and deeper as time goes by. And the depth of understanding that we should be having in our generation as we read through this prophecy, beginning with the first seal opening with the white horse, the second seal and the red horse, the third seal and the black horse, the fourth seal and the light green colored horse. What we should be getting is, wow, look at this. This is really happening. Dawning. An understanding, an epiphany, a revelation is taking place in our hearts and minds. And so now we're getting to the fifth seal. And remember, we're looking for the progressive unfolding, the continuum of the unfolding of the revelation prophecy. One event follows another. We believe the first four seals have opened in our generation. Some believe that they've opened in the last 2,000 years of the church age. Nonetheless, we have had evidence that the first four seals are opening, particularly in our generation because of what's going on with Islam. We believe that those four colors represent the colors of the Islamic world today. And I believe that that is a mystery that God has revealed to us so that we could say, wow, this is really happening. Let's press in and seek further what we can expect. The fifth seal in the book of Revelation is just, again, a continuum. Let's see if this one has been fulfilled. In verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, they were slain for the word of God. And that word slain goes back to the same word of the red horse. If you go back to the red horse, remember there was a great sword given him and power was given him to take peace from the earth and to kill. That word kill there is the same one, sphazo, and it means to butcher, to put to death by violence, remember? So here we see the same thing of this people group was put to death by violence. They were slaughtered. They were butchered. They were butchered. And so he sees under the altar. Under the altar. And what kind of picture comes into your mind when you think of someone under the altar? Well, it appears that the altar is up. They're underneath. They are beneath it. Okay. And they are people that have obviously been killed, slaughtered, butchered, put to death through violence for their what? For the word of God. And for the testimony which they held. So really, we have to conclude that these are martyrs. These are martyrs who have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. These are martyrs who have been killed, who have been butchered. And when you go back to, you know, the 300s, you go back to Nero's insane moment in 67 AD and forward, where they were putting Christians in the lions' dens and in the Colosseums for sport, and they were doing horrible things. I mean, you talk about butchering, slaughtering, beheading. Well, it's interesting because this people group in the book of Revelation, John is now seeing all of these people, and they're crying out. And look what they're crying out for in verse 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" I mean, these guys are calling out for vengeance. And they never took vengeance into their own hands. They want vindication. They want to know that our death for you, Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, has vindicative power, that it was not in vain, that there is a justice to our being killed. And they're asking a good question. How long, O Lord, until you do avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Well, they're met with an answer, and it's a very interesting thing that John is seeing. But can you imagine that fifth seal open and John is witnessing, he's hearing, he's seeing, and he sees all of these martyrs under the altar crying out, how long, how long, how long, oh God? And white robes were given unto every one of them. These robes are robes of righteousness. These robes are clean and pure. They're brilliant. If you look up the word white there, it's leukos. And the word leukos means bright, brilliant. They're really the dazzling white, the garments of angels, you know, the shining garments worn on festive or occasions of celebration. So we have something that is bright and brilliant given to them. And so they're not just under the altar kind of naked and dull. They are under the altar and something is given to them to wait. But here's the key. It says that they were not only given these brilliant, dazzling, bright robes, but it was said unto them, now they're going to hear us, they're crying out, how long? It was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. So they're called into a rest. And the rest that they are called to in the Greek is anapoao, and it means to repose, to refresh, to take ease. So here people who have been killed, butchered, slaughtered, their souls are under the altar, not their physical bodies. But you notice that their souls are wanting to know. They're agitated in a sense. They're crying out. And yet they're told, the souls, take your rest. Take your ease. Be refreshed. So even after death, the souls under the altar are being told to rest. They're given a reward, and it's the first fruits of their reward. They're given these dazzling white robes. They're declared by God to be righteous, and now they're being told to rest. For how long? How long are they supposed to rest? And it goes on and tells us that they were said to rest for a little season. All right, so a little while longer. Now, John is seeing this in the last days. Until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Well, I've got a question for you. I know there's been Christian persecution since the beginning of the church age, but are we not witnessing the ravaging reality of being butchered and slaughtered and raped in our generation by groups like ISIS? Are we not witnessing the brutality? And even people within Islam are saying, this is brutal. This is not the religion of peace, et cetera, through their deception. They don't really know, right? But here's the deal. These ones under the altar are just told to rest. So my point is simply this. We are a generation right now. We're witnessing around the world. This is not an American gospel. Remember that. So around the world, there are people being butchered and put to death with violence. Bombings, you mean it, you know, trucks running 80 people to death over in France, bombs going off in airports, you name it. There are people being savagely butchered, beheaded, you know, go on down the list. What's happening? So here's the conclusion. While they're told to rest until their other fellow servants and brothers are killed the way that they were killed as martyrs for their witness, for their faith. And these are the true heroes, the people that don't back down in the face of a sword, right? These are the real martyrs. My point is that the fifth seal has opened as well. I mean, this is just a visitation. While the first four seals are actual events that are happening on the earth with the release of the four horses that are still riding, they never go away until the very end. But we have evidence that these four horses have left the gates. They're moving through the earth right now. The fifth seal is simply seeing those from the beginning of the church age who have been killed for their faith in Jesus Christ, for their stance for Jesus. So we can honestly say the first five seals of this end time prophecy, they're opened. Let's go to the next seal, because this is the seal that, again, there's no evidence anywhere in the last 2,000 years. And I mark it for 2,000 years because the prophecy was given 2,000 years ago. So it has to be from the time of the giving of a prophecy to the end, right? Well, in the sixth seal, let's look through it and see, has this ever happened? The first five seals, yes, we get that. It's happened. It is happening. But here's something. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, there have been great earthquakes. There's no doubt about that. There have been great earthquakes in the world for 2,000 years. But there's something about this earthquake that comes with a greater description. And here's what it says. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Now, the word sackcloth is sakos, all right? And let's get into some definition on sakos, all right? Because it is a sign of grief. So the sun somehow is projecting this grief. It's a sack or receptacle for holding or carrying various things. It's a coarse cloth, a dark, coarse stuff made especially from the hair of animals. Okay? And so a garment of the like material and clinging to the person like a sack, which was wont to be worn. Okay? And it was carried by mourners and penitents and suppliants, and even some of the Hebrew prophets wore this sackcloth. And so the sun actually becomes sackcloth, and the hair, and the moon became as blood. So there's something connected to this sixth seal earthquake where the sun and the moon are affected. Now, we may call that sun became black as a solar eclipse. And we've had many solar eclipses in the last 2,000 years. There's another one coming up on August 21st that is supposed to be outstanding, right? And we're going to see it here in the United States of America. And then when it comes to the moon became as blood, well, we just had the four blood red moons, right? So there's potential for this earthquake when it happens that the sun and the moon will be affected. And then, verse 13, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Now, this could be asteroids or comets that are just kind of a shower, you know, an asteroid shower, cometary shower, meteorite shower. But we have evidence here that the stars of heaven fell unto or toward the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, every year, I believe there's a particular meteorite shower that astronomers go out and everybody loves it. But this is all connected to this earthquake. Now, the first thing that is evident by this earthquake that's going to happen in the sixth seal are celestial events. It's going to impact the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then it moves into verse 14. Because we have these untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, so great activity in the heavens. And 14 says, and the heaven departed as a scroll. Now, this is interesting. So when it is rolled together, so the heavens depart, scroll, when it is rolled together. And the word depart just means to separate. And I'm thinking to myself, what is it that would create a separation in space, you know, that second heaven? What is it that would create that where space would, you know, a nuclear weapon, you know, a massive event could actually, they say that it sucks out all the energy and creates a space in the atmosphere, right? So there's something here that creates a rolling together or a departing or a separating of the heavens, and that is the second heaven. But here's another thing. Now we come down onto earth. So this earthquake does something in the heavens, and then it does something on earth. And this is all connected. And it says, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, let me be honest about this, because the symbolic view of the great earthquake is where some people would say the mountains represent empires and the islands are lesser nations, and every one of them through this political earthquake, are being moved out of their places. Then there's some pretty awesome truth to all of that. But keeping this in context of the natural that we've already seen with the four horses. Even though the horses are symbolic of different people groups, we actually see the events happening. So we're going to actually see these events happening. And here we see, and this has always been of interest to me, that the mountains and islands were moved out of their places, because you remember that great earthquake over in India that moved the mountain, the greatest, tallest mountain in the world? It was moved out of its place. And then in Japan, how the island of Japan in 2011 was moved out of its place because of the earthquake and the tsunami that came. But the thing is that this says every mountain and island. So there's a lot of mountains, there's a lot of islands, and they are going to be moved out of their places. Out of their places. And then the next event. Now, if you could imagine mountains being moved, islands being moved, the heavens being affected, this is all connected to the sixth seal, great earthquake. I mean, obviously, the earth is going to shake everywhere. This is a global shaking. And I know it seems impossible, but if we go back to the book of Genesis, these kind of quakes have happened before that have separated the world into continents. Come on. You could put all this like a puzzle. You could put this earth back together and it's one landmass. But in the great earthquakes of the past separated the nations and continents were formed. So I'm a literalist in this, and I do believe that this great quake is going to come, and it's going to do exactly what it said. And the result of every island and every mountain being moved out of their place, the result of the stars falling to heaven, the meteorites, the comets, the asteroids coming towards the earth, the result of the heavens being separated by some vacuum effect that's going on, the heavens being on fire, right? The result of all these things is verse 15, the kings of the earth, not the king, but the kings of the earth. You see, at this moment, I don't believe that the Antichrist is not yet present in this sense. The world is what it is right now, where you have all these world rulers and all these kings of the earth. And it goes on and says, and the great men. So you have kings of the earth, you have great men, you have influential men. These may have been likened unto the days of Noah, where there were great men of renown, great men of the earth. Well, you have these great men and the rich men. So you got kings of the earth, great men, rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men. So it's really talking about an elite and every bond man and every free man did what? Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, the caves. So the underground bunkers that are built all over the world for the elite, for the rulers, for the kings, for the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the bond men, the free men, everybody, right? They're hiding. Why are they hiding? Well, they don't want to be killed by all the events that are happening, because the earth is going to rock and roll. It's going to reel to and fro. It's going to shake terribly, right? I mean, obviously, every mountain being moved, every island being moved, something's happening. But guess what? They know what's happening, because all these people that are going into their caves and into their bunkers, look at verse 16. They said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. They're not asking for suicide. They're not saying, come and kill us. They're saying, just hide us. Why? What are they hiding from? From the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. How do they know this is the wrath of the Lamb? How do they know his face of him that sits on the throne? Is it possible that these great men, these kings of the earth, these rich men, these chief captains, these mighty men, is it possible that they know that they have been fighting against the Lord? Is it possible that these are our Masons and Freemasons and Illuminati and all of these people groups, the satanic worshipers? Is it possible that these people know that they're building the empire of Satan, that they are the Luciferians that are wanting to be the priesthood of the devil himself, and they've been laboring to create a world for his coming? Yeah, obviously, because they're asking to be hidden from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Why? Because in verse 17, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's their question. They know that his time of wrath is coming. Now, here's an interesting thing. All evidence points to this reality, that after this sixth seal event, we just read the description within the sixth seal. We read the first seal. We saw what was written, and we say it's happened. We looked at the second seal. We read about it. It's happened. We read the third seal. We looked at it. We said, yeah, this has happened too. The fourth seal, we look at it. We say, that's happening too. The fifth seal, that's open because that's just seeing people that have been killed, and they're still waiting till others are being killed like them. So that's happened. But this sixth seal is what I believe is before us. And it's a timing thing because we wonder, well, how long? Now, I have some friends that believe that this event is directly connected to Matthew chapter 24. And we really should look at it because these same things happen in Matthew 24 to a degree. There's a connection. And they also seem to repeat themselves in Revelation chapter 16. But there are some differences. If we're going to stay true to the prophecy and allow the prophecy to unfold progressively in a continuum, not a jigsaw puzzle, then it must needs be that the prophecy has begun in our generation, and we're waiting now for this sixth seal event. But here's the deal. I believe that this great shaking is going to strike the fear of God in the hearts of those that have warred against him and know what they're doing. They're not ignorant. But the time will pass. They will come back out of their bunkers. They will come out of the mountains and the caves. And they will continue to do what they had been doing prior to this moment. Now, they do know the time of his wrath has come. So they got a short time. The devil knows his time is short, right? And so what is the thing that follows this sixth seal? And here's where I just love to get and see the continuum again, because now we go to Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, it begins with "and after these things." So again, there's the continuum, after these things. So I want you to imagine, let's say it happened today. Let's say that sometime, you know, in the month of July, let's just say for fun, let's say it happens. The sixth seal earthquake hits the planet, and all over the news and all over the world, the news is flashing this massive quake. Who knows how long it will last, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, where the whole world is shaken to its core. Imagine it happens. There's signs in the sun. There's signs in the moon. There's signs in the stars. The heavens are being vacuumed. There's something going on that's never happened in the eyes of this generation. We've never seen it. It hasn't happened. There's no evidence it's happened in 2,000 years, but it happens. Imagine now. It says in Revelation 7:1, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. What would the earth look like right now? And they're holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. All right, so we transition from the fulfilling the sixth seal. What will follow this sixth seal event? I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, and they're holding the four winds of the earth. What are they doing? They're holding the four winds. What are the four winds all about? Well, the winds in Daniel chapter 7 represent political and social agitations. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 2, where it says, and he saw the winds blowing upon the great sea. the four winds of heaven blowing upon the great sea of humanity. In the Amplified, it talks about these political and social agitations blowing on the sea of humanity. So what are we witnessing around the world right now? Political upheaval. The winds are blowing, the winds to a degree. Well, these angels are there with this wind, and they're holding it back. They're holding it back that it should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And they're waiting for something, because you can imagine this global event that just happened, this massive earthquake. And now you have this next scene. The earth is in absolute turmoil, right? And now we get to Revelation 7:2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So again, if I'm just reading the prophecy, we've had there's a global event ready to happen. Then there's another judgment that's on the way, but the angels are holding it back because this one angel has got to come. And he's carrying the seal of the living God. And he cried to the four angels with a loud voice to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I will be alive and remaining at the time of this event, I believe, because I believe this event is at the door. I believe the sixth seal event has to come if this prophecy is true. And I believe it is true. And we have evidence of the first five seals. Why the delay in the sixth seal? Why would it not happen? Well, it's going to happen. And so when it does happen and the earth is in that critical mass state and upheaval has happened all over the world, and now the people of the earth are, you know, terrified by what has just happened, now comes the sealing of the servants of our God in their foreheads. So the servants of God are in the earth, aren't they? They're in the earth, but there's a greater judgment ready now, because remember, the day of his wrath has come. And so the empire of Satan is going to continue to rise in battle, but now there are these things that are going on in the context of prophecy, and the four winds are coming from the divine wrath, the divine judgment of Almighty God, right? So don't hurt anything till we've sealed them. And then he gets into the numbering. I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I want to go into more detail tomorrow on this number, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, because there's something that we need to understand, and we need the Bible to interpret itself. So I'm going to stop here for right now and just know, I want this scene, this picture to develop in your head, if we can get it, that those the wild man has left the gates, the prophecy has begun, all things are set, there's another seal ready to open, and when will it be? Now, the world is kind of moving. We don't see the great men of the earth hiding at this time, do we? Because this earthquake hasn't happened. This seal hasn't happened yet. But there is a lot of planning going on, right? I mean, we're planning. We're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. A wild man's running through the earth. I mean, we got drug dealers coming up from Mexico. We got the war on terror. We got walls being built. Political this, political that. North Korea is launching other missiles. And, you know, all this stuff is happening, right? But I believe that before that thing develops, which we'll see later on, in this prophecy, not too far down the road, yes, war is going to come. There's no doubt. But this event has to happen. It has to. Unless, of course, we're not understanding the prophecy and we're not understanding it clearly. But I believe we are, which means we need to be really preparing for this earthquake and pray to God that where we are will be like Goshen, so that it's darkness to the Egyptians but light to the Israelis, that there's all kinds of judgments falling on the Egyptian empire, but in Goshen there's peace and there's light. This is imperative that we're in such a condition of heart. So I'm just going to let that selah for a moment and give opportunity for people to just kind of, you know, think about that. How close is this event to happening? Well, I believe it's the next event. And when it happens, now I do have some friends, I got to be honest, that believe it's already happened because of the massive earthquakes in 2010 and 2011. And, you know, there have been mountains and islands moving out of their places. Now, the word every is the key, every mountain, every island. And in the context of those great earthquakes of 2010, 11, 12, and then even into 14 and 15, there was the solar eclipse and there was the four blood red moons back to back and feast season days. And so putting it all together, there's evidence that maybe it already did happen. And the word every means each one that was supposed to be shaken, each island, every island that was to be shaken, every mountain that was to be shaken. So is it possible that it already has been? And that right now what is happening is that there are great winds that are ready to blow on the nations of the earth, but there's a sealing of the servants of God in their forehead, and that sealing is separating them and preserving them. That's what the seal will do, is preserve them from what's to come. Maybe we're there. Is it possible? Well, it is. I happen to believe a great earthquake is going to shake the whole planet. But maybe it already has to the degree it was supposed to. It's going to happen again in the breaking of the vials. When the vials are poured out in Revelation 16, there will be another earthquake that moves every mountain and island. And it takes them literally away where they don't even exist anymore. And we could look at that as well. So where are we? We're either waiting for a sixth seal to open, which will rock this planet, or it's already happened to a degree and there's a sealing going on because the persecution's about to go to the next level. And we'll continue on that tomorrow as we move ahead. So I'm going to go to a quick little break one more time. When I get back, we're going to wrap our program up for the day.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are four ways you could get involved right away. Number one, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL, omegaradio.org, with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into the Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to OmegaRadio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I do want to go out today with an article. You all know what's happening in North Korea. I do think we need to keep this up in the forefront of our minds. North Korea promises U.S. another gift package. And so North Korean leader Kim Jong-un called Tuesday's launch of a long-range ballistic missile a brilliant victory and promised that more, quote-unquote, gift packages will be given to Americans. According to the Korean Central News Agency, Kim called the intercontinental ballistic missile a gift for the American bastards as U.S. citizens celebrated the 4th of July. The country's state media reportedly described Kim as feasting his eyes on the ICBM, which was said to be capable of carrying a large nuclear warhead before its launch. With a broad smile on his face, Kim urged his scientists to continue to frequently send big and small gift packages to the Yankees as ever so that they would not feel weary. So after North Korea missile test, Trump tweeted also, "So much for China working with us." So experts said that these so-called gift packages are a promise that the country is planning more missile and nuclear tests that are banned by the United Nations. The missile launch was confirmed by U.S. and South Korean officials and also caused enough worry that officials called an emergency U.N. Security Council session on Wednesday. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson confirmed the missile was an ICBM and said the U.S. response would include stronger measures to hold the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, accountable. The ICBM launch is a milestone in North Korea's efforts to develop long-range missiles with nuclear warheads. Although analysts suggest it will take several more years and many more tests to perfect an arsenal. So the missile test, North Korea's most successful yet, was a direct rebuke to President Donald Trump's earlier declaration on Twitter that such a test won't happen. The launch also came days after Trump met with South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the White House and ahead of a summit of the world's richest economies. You see how it all kind of works together? You know, this is going to happen. There's going to be war. It's in the sixth trumpet. You see, we're not even into the trumpets yet. We're just into the seals. We're into the first seven seals. And the sixth seal is what we're waiting for. And the seventh seal will open in chapter 8. Revelation chapter 7 is kind of a pause between that earthquake that happens and then the beginning of the trumpet ministry, the trumpet blast. And right now the winds are being held back for the next wave. When the next wave comes, then we're going to get into the trumpets. And by the time you get to the sixth trumpet, that's when 2 billion people are going to die from war. Ladies and gentlemen, it is coming. And nobody knows the day or the hour because we don't know how perfect we are in our understanding, but we do know there should be an understanding that at least 5 of those first seals have opened. The prophecy is on. It's moving forward. We're either at the beginning of the sixth seal or it's already happened and there's a sealing going on and there are some winds that are ready to blow. And remember, the 4 winds are connected to the first 4 trumpets. The first 4 trumpets. Why? Because you can't get a sound out of a trumpet unless you blow air through it. You have to have the wind or the breath. And the first 4 trumpets are the first 4 woes in the book of Revelation chapter 8. And getting into those final 3 woes is when that sixth trumpet of war comes. And it's going to happen quickly. The winds are being held back right now. We haven't seen the winds. And either we're being sealed or we're waiting for that sixth seal to open, that great massive earthquake. I hope that you're ready. It's amazing. It's an amazing moment. You've been listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. And we'll be be talking once again tomorrow. By the way, if you are out there and you are listening to these radio broadcasts, we would love some feedback from you. And we do appreciate the feedback and the financial blessing that came in the last week or so. We're 3 months into our launch on the Omega Radio Network. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could tune in and hear some of the great men and women of God on this Omega Radio station. We're still laboring, and we're going to continue to build, do the best we can. And we just want to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website at omegaradio.org, and you could text us, or you could send us an email. You could sign up for our End Time Army so that we can have a gathering place of great communication. That's really all about. So that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Until we meet again tomorrow, shalom. God bless you. We'll talk to you real soon.